I'm beginning to wonder what's worse, preaching or giving a report. I remember many years ago, in my young days, like a teenager, somebody watched me get up and give my testimony. I was in the Sunday school at that time. And we had a Sunday school superintendent by the name of Mr. Little. He was a fine brother. And it was requested that those young people give their conversion. So I got up and tried to do what I could to tell mine. Well, I got the response afterwards from another brother that knew me very well. He had two daughters. And I don't know which daughter it was, but one daughter told him I could see the very knees of his pants shaking. So that shows you what a new experience does for you, and I don't feel any better this afternoon at the present time. So I'll do what I can with the help of the Lord, and we'll start off with reading the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to read the chapter. I'm not going to give you a sermon, so you won't need to worry about it. I'm just going to introduce the subject matter we have before us through this reading. Just give you the outline of what's in the chapter, the brief outline, and then go right on into the purpose for which I'm up here. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, there are four things I want to point out here, and it's going to lead to the principal thing that we will be dealing with. We have, first of all, acknowledgement due to the fact that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. So they had to acknowledge something, that they were in idolatry and that they were not in Christendom. Neither were they in Christ. They were in idolatry, and consequently they turned to God. Now, that is acceptance, turning to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. I was born a Roman Catholic, but I wasn't raised one. My mother and father were staunch Roman Catholics, and my mother's sister, my aunt, she was also one. One day, the doctor had to visit her for some sickness, and he had to remove the pillow. And in removing the pillow, he saw a bunch of beads, and she called them scapulars, and I don't know what not. And the doctor looked at that and he says, "What's all this about?" And it didn't sound too good to her, so she says, "Oh, doctor, those are holy." So all that was holy to her. But it wasn't long that she got saved, and we'll come to that point, and those things were there no more. They all went into the garbage can. They were very unholy. So it was an idol. And these people, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Now, the next thing that we see, that there was activity. Now, this is going to be the center of my comments. It's going to center around activity. It is impossible for an assembly to grow without activity. Now, I hope everybody heard me. I'm going to repeat it. It is impossible for an assembly to grow without activity. Anywhere in the Bible that you read of assembly growth, behind it is activity. And I believe this is where we fail today, is in activity. We're satisfied to come and to go. We belong to the assembly. Everything's in order. What about the outside? What about the activity? The reason the assembly is in existence today, by the grace of God, is because there was plenty of activity, as I'll point out to you. So here we see in the scriptures that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, to serve Him. That's what we're saved for. You know, in my younger days, I used to hear that expression a lot. You're saved to serve. So let's keep that in our minds today. We're saved to serve. And then the final point that I'll draw your attention to is verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Here you have anticipation. And thank God we are looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it would be a wonderful thing if He came when we were in service for Him. Now that we have the basis of our remarks, which is service, we're going to look a little at the existence of the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly. I'll do the best I can with this. It was started in the year 1800, 1883, and it existed until now, 1993. Now, that doesn't mean that the assembly is in the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly. It just means that the assembly per se has continued on even though they're in Culver City. It's the same assembly. And it's 1993, and because it's the same assembly existing since 1893, it's 100 years old. Well, I don't know of anybody that would be around with this type of a thing going on, 100 years old. That's a lot of years. But thank God there's some reasons behind it. And this is what we're going to be looking at. We can thank God for the sustaining grace that He has shown in relation to this assembly. I was in it for a long time. I was saved in association with it, baptized, and received into assembly fellowship. And perhaps I would have still been with the brethren here if it hadn't been for the fact another work was opened in the Spanish-speaking area of East Los Angeles, and that's where the Lord led me as well as the others, and that's where I've been now since 1950, with the help of the Lord. Now, this assembly has gone on well, and we can thank the Lord for those who exist. Now, before I go any further, I would like to say that the information that I'm giving is not all calculated from my own mind. I only handed over one or two things to our sister Violet Roger and her husband Neil Roger. We can appreciate the effort that was put into this. I understand that Lila started some time back, she told me just how many months back, and put in a lot of work into this. And we are indebted to her for what she has done in trying to bring about some report for the 100th anniversary of the assembly. And we thank the Lord that we have a sister that could do such a thing. Now, this should obliterate a lot of things from the minds of others about what sisters can do and what sisters cannot do. I've always believed what the Bible teaches, that sisters have gift just as much as men, but they are limited in sphere. That I recognize, but they do have gift. And I believe this is a gift that was manifested in relation to bringing this about. And we can thank the Lord for it. Now, among the activities that we have had in the years past, and I'm thankful to the Lord I was involved in it as well, so I can speak by a little experience on top of what's been handed to me. The fact remains that one of the great things was street corner work, that is, going out into the open air and preaching the gospel. I had a curious experience one time as a little boy, about 7 or 8 years old. The first street corner meeting I ever attended to with my parents was on the corner of First and Clarence. And there were the likes of Brother Jarvis, Brother Alan Ferguson, and Brother Frank Gallagher, And there was one or two others. My dad was there. There was about five or six of the brethren there. And Brother Jarvis was the one that was out there standing, preaching the gospel. But here comes a man, and he was quite drunk, of course, and he had his fist doubled, and he was ready to take what he called a swipe. Well, Brother Gallagher stepped in front of the man to stop him from doing any harm, but he says, "All I want is one swipe. That's all I want, just one swipe." But he didn't get it. And it's a good thing he didn't get his swipe. We might have had something on our hands to think about. But you see, that was my first introduction to a street corner meeting when I was only so tall. And I remember that day until now, and I'm not 16 anymore either. So there you are. I've got a pretty good memory so far. Well, from that point on, I've attended many, many, many street corner meetings. Saturday night was one of the famous nights for it. There were times when we were on one corner, and then other times on another, and there was reasons for going from one place to another. We would stay in a certain area for one time, and the gospel would be preached. And then when the interest would die out, they'd go somewhere else. But this kept on for years, the street corner work, preaching the gospel in the open air. Also, the hall was located close to the corner. The hall was on Jefferson Boulevard, and it was 1225 at one time, and when they built the Good Templars Lodge Hall next door, they gave them the 1225, and they gave the Gospel Hall 1231 West Jefferson Boulevard for their address. And just across the street, going like that, at that angle, like a 45-degree angle, they had a street meeting every Sunday night before the gospel meeting started. Now, I can't remember just what the results were, but there probably were times when one or two would go into the gospel hall and hear the gospel being preached. But it wasn't anything that was regular, except that the brethren were faithful. The brethren were regularly out every Sunday evening at 6:30 to 7, preaching the gospel of the grace of God. One of the other activities that they had was tent meetings. Now, these were very profitable. Sam Keller was one of the preachers, and we had a brother by the name of Samuel Greer, and he was another one of the preachers. James F. Spink was another one of the preachers, and I could just go on and name some if they would come to my mind, but the fact of the matter is we had some good, solemn gospel meetings during those years. And they lasted for quite a while. They were in the gospel tent. And as I recall, after so many years of gospel tent work, there was a law passed, some sort of a law, that the tent had to be treated chemically, I guess, as fireproof. And, of course, the tent was pretty well up in years by that time, and the brethren didn't feel it was worth the money to try to do anything with it. And so it was stored away. And that was the end of tent meetings, as far as the Jefferson Hall was concerned, per se. I remember the last time there was a tent meeting, our brother Paisley came out with his tent in a certain area, and of course there were different assemblies involved. I suppose it was still Jefferson at the time, and then again Long Beach and Monrovia. These assemblies were involved in it because our brother Paisley was there, and I also believe, I just forget his name now, Willie Wark. Our brother Willie Wark, I think, was preaching with him in that tent series. I don't know if souls were saved, but I have an idea that there were one or two that were saved during those tent meetings. So I've attended plenty of tent meetings, and I've enjoyed every one of them. I just was a little unhappy when we couldn't have any more. So that took care of the tent meetings that we had. This is what you call an outreach work. Now, within the scope of that same assembly, this is it here also, even though in Culver City, the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly, there was a brother that was very much exercised about the Spanish-speaking area, and that was our brother John Ruddock. Our brother John Ruddock didn't know Spanish, and later on he went over to Honduras, and then, Guatemala first, and then he transferred to Honduras. And then he stayed there for many years. For about 50 years, he stayed out there in Honduras doing the Lord's work, seeing assemblies established, he and his wife. And finally, in his old age, he came back, and the last I heard, he had died in his sleep. Well, thank God, he was absent from the body and at home with the Lord. And he's gone to his reward. He was a very, very faithful man in relation to the things of God. He was a man that never got excited, as far as I knew. There was one thing that impressed me when I was a boy, because in those days, there were children's meetings going on in the Spanish-speaking area there in East L.A., and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon every Sunday. Well, he was going to speak to the children, and he took off his coat, and it fell on the floor. Well, of course, it so happened that the floor wasn't clean, and there was some dirt on his coat, and I expected to see some frown, some expression, or something like that, which is usually common among people. All he did was very calmly pick up that coat and just went and dusted it off like that, and I just hardly could believe what I was seeing. Well, that was his character. He was cool, calm, and collective. He was a good brother. I never knew him in any difficulty, and he continued steadfastly in the Lord's work until the Lord took him home. And this is one of the happy memories I have with him. And as an outreach from the Jefferson Hall, he started the children's work over in East L.A. The time came when he was exercised to go into the foreign field, as I've already mentioned, and so my dad was asked if he would continue with the children's work. So he finally said that he would. And a little later on, our brother went away into the foreign field and served the Lord, and my dad took over the work in the East L.A. area, and he stayed there until the Lord took him home, and my mother also. So consequently, the work has been going on in that area for many years. In the year of 1950, as a result of the gospel going into that area, there were souls that had been saved, and it was noted that they were living in the area, but they were going to different gospel halls. We were in fellowship with them, of course. These are gospel halls with which we were in fellowship, and consequently, the exercise came to our hearts about establishing an assembly in the East Los Angeles area. So consequently, after some discussion about this, it was agreeable among those that were working in the area to have one. Well, we spoke to the brethren of the Jefferson Gospel Hall. They're all home with the Lord now, and we had a nice meeting with them, explained to them the situation, and they were all agreed that it would be fine if we went ahead and started an assembly. So the assembly was started in full fellowship with the assembly at Jefferson and is continuing until today. And we can thank the Lord that it has grown since. We had about 12 in fellowship to begin with, and I haven't counted recently any additional numbers, but the last time I figured it out, it was 60. That's a little while back. 60 in fellowship today. Now, this is all because of the Lord using the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly as an outreach work. And this is what I'm trying to emphasize. Like it says here, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith to God were to spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. Now, when we consider all that has gone forth out of the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly, why, we should be very happy that things have worked out that way. There's been blessing, and there's been souls saved. Now, there's one other thing about this assembly in East Los Angeles. It has continued on all these years, but then there has been an outreach in other areas. For example, in Linwood, we have an English work going on by our brother Tom Baker and those associated with him. It's been going on now for some time. There are souls that have been saved, and there are those that have not only been saved but baptized and were received into assembly fellowship. And this is showing, again, the benefit that we receive from the Lord as a result of the word going out. Just recently, they had a series of meetings, and I understand there were those that were saved, and we can thank the Lord for that. So there's the outreach work again. Another area of outreach work is among a certain group of children, and every Friday they're having a little meeting with them in the gospel. And we trust that by the grace of God, souls will be saved. I understand there were some that have been saved as a result of those meetings going on. And undoubtedly, there are other areas that I'm not thinking of at the present time, but we know that the Lord is always able and willing to save all that will come unto God by Him. One thing that was very outstanding in the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly were the conferences. There was one thing I've always enjoyed, even until now, were conferences. Now, these conferences were well attended, and there were men that came from a distance, preaching brethren from a distance, and the Word of God was very well read and spoken, and the hearts of many believers were reached. I don't know about souls being saved. I can't recall that at the present, but I'm sure the gospel went out faithful enough that there would be those receiving Christ if they would yield to the Holy Spirit of God. But those conferences were days to be remembered. Now, there is one particular year between the, oh, it was in either the early 30s or middle 30s, like 35, 1932, 35, somewhere in that area. Pretty difficult to remember that. But at the same time, it was in that period of time in the 30s. There was a conference. And for the first time, there wasn't room enough just for the normal hall, and it was a sizable hall. So what they had to do was take down the partition that separated their hall from the Sunday school room, and the hall was packed from front to back. That was one of the best conferences I've ever seen, and good ministry at that, and we thank the Lord how that conference was very well attended and that the people of God received ministry to build them up in their most holy faith. I hope some souls got saved as a result of that conference. Now, in relation to that conference, it's something to be remembered. And consequently, I don't know as it's ever been that way before, nor since. However, that particular time was one occasion. Now, there's something about these conferences in general now that I would like to draw to your attention. And this has to do with believers in their activities one with another, their actions, rather, one with another. You never saw so much love expressed among believers today as there was in that day. Today we're afraid practically to shake hands with people, it looks like, and there's always a little distance that you stay away from certain people. I'm not meaning good or bad in either sense. I mean just in relation to human beings per se, like you come across to a sister, you might reach out that way and shake her hands, and you might go to a brother and do the same thing. It wasn't like that in those days. That's the area I'm speaking about. You can forget any evil thing that might enter into your mind. I don't have that at all in my mind. I'm just talking about things that are natural. Now, what happened was this. There would be people coming from a distance, and I saw this with my own eyes, so I'm not giving you a fairy tale. And here comes a brother, and he came, say, from New York, or maybe Michigan, whatever. He came from a long distance. Here's a local brother here, and he knows that brother. Man, they just shook hands like you don't believe. And they would just hug each other and pat each other like this. I'm not exaggerating either. And do all this and that and the other. And one brother was watching them just like I was. My, he says, we could stand a lot more of that. That's the expression I got from him. We could stand a lot more of that. We don't see any of it today. Do you? I don't. But that's Christianity. That's love, showing your love for your brother and for your sister. Well, those were the happy days. And when we had those conferences, everybody was as happy as a lark, and everything went the way we thought was very nice and smooth. There may have been some problems about the kitchen or other, who knows, but the conference in general was just fine, and we thank the Lord for those happy days in relation to the conference. Now, In relation to the outreach work, I'm going to be closing now in about a minute. In relation to the outreach work, why it has reached out into El Monte. That's where the children's work is. And then again, I mentioned the work out in Brother Baker's area, and that's been going on for a number of years. And then again, out in Downey, the work has been spread out in Downey, where my son Adam has held gospel studies and ministerial studies for believers and gospel studies for unbelievers for about 9 or 10 years or so. And this has been going on regularly every other Monday night. And there have been different believers from different assemblies attending those studies. And they all claim to have profited by the studies that were given. Eventually, there was a desire to see another assembly established. And there was an assembly established there, which we believe to be a biblical, scriptural assembly. Otherwise, I wouldn't support it. And we thank the Lord for this outreach. Now, all of the outreaches that we have been speaking about, it started from one place, the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly. Now, that is the history of the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly activity. And then this activity spread out, and then others got into activity. So there's no time lost in trying to serve the Lord. This is all that I have to say in relation to this. I plan on putting the whole thing on the computer and having it printed out. And if any would like to have it in print, the resume of the West Jefferson Boulevard Assembly, just let me have your name and address with especially the zip code at the end, and I'll be glad to mail it out to you. I just have to finish the printing of it on the computer and then run it out. And I'll be very happy to mail this out to you if you would like. Just give me your name, your address, and that's all that's necessary. And with the time, I can't promise you like tomorrow or next day, but within reasonable time, you'll be receiving a package that deals with this, if the Lord will. Now, I thank you very much for your attention. I wasn't watching the clock, so I hope I'm not in any trouble. I would like to announce a hymn, and I had it marked out here. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. 233. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He for conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us when we trust in him. Trust in him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those he loves from him. If you'd like to stand, you may do so as we sing 233.